Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. He's Rabbi Jonathan Bernis. He's Executive Director of Jewish Voice Ministries International. And we're talking about his brand new book. It's one that is a must read for you. It's called A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. And Jonathan, you have a statement that has just been resounding in my ears, especially in these times of perilous times that we're living in, especially in the United States of America, and that is, the best is yet to come. What do you mean by that?
Well said. I mean that all the focus has been on this doom and gloom tribulation period where everything goes to hell in a handbasket. While I believe that there's times of tribulation coming, I believe we're about to see the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God in the history of mankind. That's exciting for me. So for followers of the Messiah, for true Christians, we're about to see the most dramatic biblical experiences taking place in the history of the world. That's exciting. Why do I believe that? I believe it because the Bible says that when the Jewish people rejected their Messiah, it brought salvation to the Gentiles. There's a connection, a parallel between what happens in the church and what happens with Israel. But the Bible says that when they come back, life from the dead. What does that mean? It means a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the world, the Jewish people coming to back to their Messiah being the key that unlocks this incredible outpouring that will be greater than the first century outpouring. Again, the greatest outpouring in the history of mankind. I'm excited about that, Sid. I'm excited about the promise of the supernatural realm being released. I am excited about fulfilling God's destiny for my life. I'm excited about football stadiums being filled with people that are experiencing the transforming power of the Lord with healings, miracles, and resurrections. We've seen it.
Now, as you're sharing that, you know that God is not going to be silent. He's healing people right now. Pains of all kinds are leaving. People with pain in their neck, if you move your head, you'll see that the pain is gone. People with back pains, if you'll just bend up and down, you have a hip pain, jump, do something. Faith without a corresponding action is dead. And as you jump, you're going to jump right into your healing. There are people with pains in their wrists, in their arms. You are healed in Jesus' name. And Jonathan, what you're talking about, but this is my heart's desire. It's almost as if the Gentile Christians have a spiritual DNA and Jewish believers in Jesus have a spiritual DNA, and both are incomplete. But when the two come together, it gives us what we've been praying for.
Let me go one step further, Sid. It's not only coming together as one new man, but it's together fulfilling the mandate to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy, to seek after God in a greater dimension and to experience his presence in a greater dimension. I did not sign up, and I know you didn't either, Sid, for some vain religion to replace the Judaism that we experienced going to synagogue. I signed up to have a living encounter with the living God and to see and experience his presence. And that's what I'm expecting to happen in greater measure than I've ever experienced. And you and I have seen some great things. I've seen God move powerfully in third world nations like India and Ethiopia, but the best is yet to come. We ain't seen nothing yet, Sid.
Just whet our appetite. Tell me one miracle you observe with your eyes in Ethiopia.
Goodness, there's so many. Let me just give you two. I can't just give you one. The first was a deaf and dumb mute that came into our into the healing room, into our counseling room, in this medical clinic that we put on in northern Ethiopia in the mountains. And the elders of the community were all at the clinic. They knew this young man since childhood. They knew he couldn't hear, that he couldn't speak, and he was supernaturally, his hearing was supernaturally restored in the prayer room, enough so that I could stand behind him and whisper words, and he would begin to repeat them, just like you've seen on television, only this time it was in front of the community leaders that had watched this young man grow up, and to look at their the faces of consternation and shock and confusion was unlike anything I had ever experienced, because this is exactly what happens in the Bible, where you don't have transient communities, but people that everyone knows, and there's no explanation. So that was one that is undeniable, and I then interviewed them. What do you think about this? What does this mean? And they were just all very confused and had to process it. Another, this last year, said a second one, was that one of the leaders of the community that was in the clinic trying to keep people from going into the prayer room came in on the last day, ran into the prayer room, prayed to receive the Lord, and took a whole bunch of Bibles with him to hand out. I met with him and found out that the night before, Jesus had come to him in a dream and said, "I am the Messiah, and I have sent these people, and I want you to serve them and serve me." And he is now walking with the Lord. He's an evangelist. I watched this man change in front of my eyes from being an adversary to the gospel to giving his heart to the Lord and being an evangelist overnight.
Now, for those that are not that familiar with Ethiopian Jews, briefly explain why you went to Ethiopia.
Well, there's tens of thousands of Jews remaining in Ethiopia, said that the Israeli government is not allowing to come home. And the reason for that is that they're identified as Falasha Mora, converts to Christianity. Sometime back in their past generations, someone converted to Christianity, most likely because of persecution, but they're not real believers. Israel has said, "We'll consider taking you back, but you need to live a Jewish life." And so they've been very afraid to have any encounter with people like us that are sharing the gospel, and yet they're starving to death. They're dying of malnutrition and disease, and so we've reached out to them, and they're responding because they have no choice. They're between a rock and a hard place. They're persecuted as Jews in Ethiopia, but rejected by the Israeli government, and so we've been conducting these large medical clinics, followed up with prayer rooms where we share the gospel and pray for their healings. And so there's a lot of resistance to the gospel simply out of fear, but the power of God is breaking through that fear and changing lives.
Now, you have another chapter in your book talking about the feasts of Israel and how they literally mirror the two comings of the Messiah. Explain.
There's six feasts plus the Shabbat in the cycle of Leviticus 23, the cycle of the year for Israel during the calendar year. The first three are connected with the first coming of Messiah, the second three with his return. So you have the Feast of Passover, which of course is fulfilled by Jesus as the Passover lamb, who dies along with the other Passover lambs as the sacrifice, who sheds his own blood so that the angel of death might pass over us. It's followed by First Fruits, which was the first fruits of the harvest, which Jesus fulfills by resurrecting from the dead as the first fruits of life from the dead just 3 days later. And then the third part of that in the trilogy is Pentecost, or we know as Shavuot in Hebrew, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church in fulfillment of what was the first of the wheat harvest, wheat being symbolic spiritually of souls coming into the kingdom of God. So you have the first great influx of souls on Pentecost or Shavuot, fulfilling the first trilogy of feasts. The second three, Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and then Sukkot, the final harvest, are fulfilled when Jesus returns at the sound of the last trump, followed by the national repentance of Israel, Yom Kippur, which is why it's so important to understand the Jewish calendar, said, and then ultimately the final gathering, where he gathers his people from the four corners of the earth, fulfilling Sukkot, or the Feast of
Trumpets. You know, the biblical feasts are such graphic presentations of the first coming of Jesus and the return of Jesus that it's got to be one of the most diabolical things in the world that it's been taken away from the church.
Absolutely. These are prophetic signs that if you don't understand, you miss out.
Now, Jonathan, on tomorrow's broadcast, another section of your book is how to share the Messiah. And there are a lot of good questions that Jewish people are asking that deserve good answers. And there are things that Jewish people, well, for instance, a lot of people don't know this, but in several passages in the approved Jewish scriptures, there is a change in the prophecy. For instance, Isaiah 7:14 says, a young woman will conceive and have a child, and his name will be called Emmanuel, whereas in the Christian Bible, it says a virgin. How come there's a difference?
Well, because if you look at the evolution of rabbinic Judaism, which is not the Judaism of the scriptures, the Judaism today is very different than the Judaism at the time of Jesus. But the Judaism that's evolved over the last 2,000 years, Sid, has really been more a reaction against Christianity than anything else. And so you have the removal of key prophecies in Jewish literature that were clearly interpreted as being connected to the Messiah by the early rabbis that in the time of Jesus and before. Again, a Judaism that's reacted negatively to Christianity and removed any hints of the possibility that Jesus is the Messiah.
But what would you say if someone said, that's not virgin, that says young woman in the Hebrew?
Yeah, the word Alma, and which was interpreted as virgin in the Septuagint. The Greek the Greek translation in 250 B.C., 250 years before Christ ever came, and now you have the rabbis that say that's a Christian interpretation. Come on.
You really need this book, and the reason you need it is because we are in the end times, and you want to fulfill your call in the last days. The name of the book is called The Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. It's literally just off the press. It's available for a donation of $22.
Our website, sidroth.org, is jam-packed with tools to equip you to move in signs and wonders, understand Israel and the Jewish roots of the church. Log on to sidroth.org today.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.